2024. Calm before the storm. Third day in the Flyers have had off consecutively. There's much needed little break here, but it will not last. Big weekend against theoretical bad teams. The Sabres tomorrow on Friday and Columbus on Saturday. And that could be the Philadelphia Flyers season on the line right here. And we'll talk about that and more tonight. And Katie's back to help me. Katie, how you doing?
Hi, everyone. Hope you're all doing swell this evening. I'm actually going to be attending the Flyers game in Columbus on Saturday.
Wow.
So I'll get to see this make or break effort in person. Hopefully they don't disappoint me like usual. Like you said, these are theoretically bad teams, but they've gotten their asses handed to them by the Montreal Canadiens and the Chicago Blackhawks in the last week. So who knows?
Five consecutive losses. They are still third place in the Metro with 83 points. They've played 76 games. The Caps have played 74 games. They have 82 points currently in the second wild card spot. It's crush time right now. Yes, they have surpassed Detroit, at least for the time being.
Oh, they did? Oh, yeah.
They have a game
hand on Detroit, too.
Yeah, so 82 points. Detroit and Capitals both have 82. Islanders have 81. Even the Penguins have 79.
Penguins have 79. They're coming up. This is going to be really crazy getting down to the wire. Like, this is going to go until the last day of the season.
It sure seems that way. And their remaining games, Buffalo, Columbus. Next week, they have Montreal, Rangers, Devils. And the last game of the season on April 16th against the Capitals. So
That game right there. That is it. That's going to be for that last wild card spot.
It could very well be.
Or third in the division. That's going to be the difference right there, likely, I think. It's just been, I don't know, the Flyers really had the chance this last week to kind of flip the script and pick up some much needed points against opponents that they are markedly better than. And it was extremely disappointing to see them basically not even try for any of those games.
Some of their worst efforts of the season have come over the last two or three weeks. Yeah.
And it's like, this is, you know, you're fighting for a playoff spot. If you can't get motivated for these games at the most crucial point in your season, what can you get motivated for? All that culture ain't doing them any good, Dan.
Yeah, it's amazing. Their culture and work ethic that they've relied so heavily on this year goes out the window when it matters most. That is driving old Tortorella up a friggin' wall.
I mean, at this point, I do really want them to make it. They've made it this far. I just want them to see it through, because I think watching the worst-case scenario happen that we talked about at the beginning of the season, where they fight all the way to the end and then they miss out by a point or two and they're stuck picking, like, 14th or 15th, like, that is the solution that nobody wanted to this, right?
Yeah, it's worst-case scenario, yeah.
I really don't want to see that play out, and I don't know. It's going to be tough. They better be up and ready to go for these games. Props to Tortorella for laying into them. What was it, after the post game against the Islanders, where he said Fedotov was the only
Monday
one who played?
Lost his mind on Monday. Yeah, I mean, it's been the story of the Flyers pretty much since the end of February, when they had that back-to-back with the Rangers in Pittsburgh, and they dropped both of those games. Their seven-game gauntlet, they walked away 2-3-2, which is not bad, but it's not great.
Not great,
and then they come out of it, they were supposed to have this cakewalk of a schedule down the stretch here, and then they drop games to Montreal and Chicago in disappointing fashion. They lose to the Islanders in overtime, you know, and put them right back in the playoff race. So, I mean, they've had plenty of opportunity here to kind of step up, and I mean, that third place Metro spot has been all theirs.
It's
been all
theirs
for months
taking,
now.
Yeah.
And they just could not lock it down, and now it's crunch time for these last six games.
And it's not even that they couldn't, like, if they were playing meaningful opponents like Boston or somebody, like, you know, we could see them losing, but they're losing to teams at the bottom of the standings.
Yeah.
Like, these are games that essentially should have been guaranteed 2 points and ways for them to make ground against Washington and Pittsburgh and not get closer to that wild card spot. But They just can't seem to get out of their own way. I don't understand it. It also really bothers me that they always kind of play around to the level of their opponent, which really frustrates me because you don't really know what team you're getting in and out.
Yeah, they can go out there and put on a decent effort against Florida and then show up in Chicago and
Mm-hmm.
look worse than they do somehow.
Yeah.
So they have Columbus has been eliminated. They're the first team in the East to be eliminated from the playoffs. 62 points, just 25 wins. Sabres, they're still hanging on to a playoff spot. It's looking more and more unlikely by the day, but they have 77 points. So just out of the wild card picture with the rest of these teams. So they're still fighting for something here. If they go in and outwork the Flyers this weekend, I don't know, man. It doesn't really matter when you get to Columbus at that point, if but they can't do it against Buffalo.
I mean, and Buffalo has been one of those teams that, they for some reason are a lot worse than they were last year. We kind of thought they were going to sneak in at the end of the last year, but they also can't get it together because they're the Sabres. But yeah, I mean, that one I think of the three is probably going to be the hardest one for them. Because I think the Sabres are still really trying, whereas the other teams, I feel like they've just kind of given up. But yeah, we have no idea. I mean, it'll be interesting to see how they get up for these games and how they respond to Tortorella after he lambasted them in the media on after Monday night's game. And he's been able to push all of their buttons, so hopefully that is the catalyst.
It's
But this
Sabres.
is going to be it right here. Like this little stretch of the season, if they don't if they can't get these wins, the Capitals are going to lap them.
Sabres
Pittsburgh
have the
might lap
same amount
them.
of wins as the Flyers do, 36.
How many we only have what, a game or two in hand?
The Sabres have 76 as well. One of the few
Okay.
teams that are not have a game in hand on the Flyers there.
Huh, interesting.
Same amount of wins, they just have significantly less overtime points.
Yeah. Flyers make it to overtime a lot, they just lose.
And then they lose in 10 seconds,
Yep. Yeah, that was frustrating. But I mean, at least he owned up to it. Like after the game, he was, Morgan Frost was like, "Yeah, I messed up. I'm gonna make it up to my teammates." I'm hoping it's kind of like an Alec Bohm situation where, he got caught being like, "I hate this place," and then, apologized for it and then becomes, a fan favorite. But I really hope to see something out of him. I'm actually like, we've kind of been Morgan Frost haters on the show for a while, but this season I've actually been solidly impressed with him. I've kind of come around on Morgan Frost. I'm not at like Bill Meltzer level
I don't think
of
anybody's on
a
a Bill
like
Meltzer
Morgan
level, though.
Frost fanboy, but yeah, that is a hard
Restraining
bar.
order level,
But
yeah.
I've definitely gained some respect for Morgan Frost this year.
I mean, I don't like him, but he's fine. He's a 40-point guy, all right. That still makes frivolous mistakes that cost him huge games in playoff scenarios, but
Yeah.
he's fine. I don't know what else to say. I don't like him. He's not great. The team around him doesn't help.
I mean, yeah, he's not like a star, but
He's
in
fine.
all of the situations that I feel
13
like,
goals and 41 points. Woo-hoo.
yeah.
Connor McDavid, he ain't.
No, he's definitely not Connor McDavid, but I feel like he's, I don't know, responded well to a lot of the challenges that Tortorella's thrown at him over the year between like the being scratched in the beginning of the year and, talking with him. And I don't know, the second half of the season, I have really liked how he's played up. I mean, obviously minus that really bad turnover on Monday. But yeah.
Sean Couturier day to day, supposedly.
Yeah, I saw that when I got out of work today. Like, how did he
Shoulder
get injured?
injury.
Was there a hit in the
I believe he left that
Monday
game
night's
early.
game? Okay.
Left that game early, and apparently it's not as bad as they thought it was, but it's the Flyers medical staff, so day to day turns into year to
Week to
year
week, which
pretty
yeah, which
quickly.
turns into.
So, I mean,
So we won't
whatever
see
they're
him
gonna
till
do,
next
their
season.
4C isn't healthy right now. Oh no.
I mean, I don't think Sean Couturier would have been the difference maker anyway in these games, but
You know, Manny pointed this out in the freaking Flyer chat tonight, and I thought he made a like that the some of the replies under that Sean Couturier tweet when the Flyers said that he's day to day, like, I think people have turned on this guy quite a
Oh,
bit.
really? I didn't look at the replies.
You know,
I just got the alert, the notification that said he's going to be day to day, and I was like, oh, that's unfortunate.
it's definitely not the sunshine and rainbows you would expect from this fan base right now. So I think they took a Tortorella side here after they benched him and don't see him as favorable anymore, which is interesting because he's not first and
I mean,
foremost.
I'm personally
But
on Tortorella's side with this whole thing.
yeah, I mean, they should have never re-signed Couturier to the contract in the first place. If only somebody predicted that 4 years ago.
Yeah, no, I was with you on that too. I thought it was dumb that they re-signed him. Dumber that they announced him as the captain when they did, and then lo and behold, a month later, we're benching him. You know, it's just a whole mess that they could have avoided. Like, they really are just great at shooting themselves in the foot. But, I think especially just after, like, Couturier had made some comments, too, about how he feels he's been, like, disrespected. And then he had his, like, agent go talk shit about Tortorella in the media.
Yeah.
But, like, I feel like, at least for me personally, that kind of rubbed me the wrong way. Because, like, the city has given you everything on, a silver platter, pretty much. And you have to play fourth line minutes for a little
You're the
bit.
captain
And,
and you're out
and,
here
like,
pissing your
you're the
pants
captain
about
of
it.
the team. Like, you were named the captain of the team. And then, you know, isn't your job as the captain supposed to be to do whatever you can
To
to help
lead
the team?
and not
To
throw a
lead?
fit.
If that means you play fourth line minutes because other people on the team are playing better than you, then isn't that what you're supposed to do? And he's throwing a hissy fit about it? Like, I don't know. That isn't the way to go about things. And like I said, really rubs me the wrong way. I've never been like a huge, like, Coots person to begin with. So like, it's no skin off my back, but I feel like people who are like Coots homers are starting to like, I don't know, maybe the Coots colored glasses are coming off or whatever.
Yeah. I've never, like, I can respect the game Couturier plays, but
oh,
I mean, this guy was never, like, a legitimate 1C. He was not that guy. He was not this franchise icon that deserves to play more games than literally everybody else in franchise history if he sees through this contract. I just never understood it, and, I mean, he's clearly... I mean, he's 31. He's played 800 NHL games. Legitimately, statistically, some of the hardest minutes in the NHL over the
last
decade.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, he's still under contract for 6 more years, 2 back surgeries, missed 2 years, the list of knee problems before that. You know, he's not exactly aging gracefully. And for him to have a, you know, full diaper over this as well, it's just, I don't know. Yeah, it definitely, he should have handled that a lot better. Like, I get you're angry and whatnot, but you're the captain here. You can't be shitting your pants in the media like this. The first sign of struggle when you're wearing the suit.
Like, why not talk to him, like, behind closed doors and have conversations? Like, this is something that should have been, like, an internal conversation. Like, this is not something that should have been played out for all of
the
us
The dirty
to
laundry
see.
To the media, yeah.
Right. But, like, if this is the shit that's getting talked about nationally, can you imagine what's actually going on behind the scenes that they're trying to, like, keep under wraps? Like, the Flyers are nothing if not interesting. No matter how good or bad they are, there's always some kind of shit going on.
Yeah.
Which
never,
is great for
moment.
Drama lovers like me. I just get to sit here and eat my popcorn and watch it all unfold. but yeah, I echo everything you said about Couturier. Like, I respect the game that he plays and the game that he did play. He logged a lot of tough minutes, especially as a, you know, when he was younger. And like, that just takes a toll on you. Like, Father Time gets, you know, catches up with everybody in this game. And, you know, he missed essentially 2 years of back surgeries. Like, I think part of that might be the problem is that he's struggling with not being the guy anymore. And like, he just can't play like he was 26 anymore.
Yeah.
And that's okay. But, you know, for somebody who's used to always being at the top of the lineup, that might just be a hard thing to reckon with reality, right?
God, I'm looking at these fucking forward lines right now. I feel like we've just reached the pick names out of a hat and throw them together part of the season. Frost is centering Forster and Konechny on the top line. You got Tippett, Lawton, Brink, Lexell, Paling, Hathaway, Farabee, Cates, Atkinson, with Deloria and Garion of your extra forwards right now.
At least they're actually playing Ollie Lexell.
Great.
Improvements.
He'll get 4 minutes a night tomorrow.
Did you say Deloria was in the lineup, or is he out?
Deloria and Garion over the extras at the moment.
Okay.
Theoretically. And then you got York, Sanheim, Sealer, Drysdale, Zamula, Johnson, Stahl, Attard. And Ginning was apparently not there. So.
Interesting.
And if Stahl and Sealer are healthy, Sealer and Drysdale, those are the two that were missing time. If they're healthy, you know, I don't know why Ginning and Attard are here anyway, especially when the Phantoms are desperately clinging to their own playoff spot.
I think it's because if they send them down, they can't call them back up, right? So they need to have them, in case. Well, I guess they could use the emergency call-ups in that case, right? If somebody else went down and they needed to call them up. Yeah, then why not just send them down?
At least one of them.
Yeah, I don't think they both need to be here. But I generally liked what I saw from both of them when they played.
They're both fine.
They were fine. I mean, they weren't bad. They weren't superstars, but I enjoyed what I saw.
Yeah, they
should
did
play
not...
them more often.
Nah,
that would be too easy.
Make too much sense. We have to play Eric Johnson.
I will never wrap my head around why they did this. Danny Briere looked at this team and said, "You know what? You guys deserve for all of your hard work trying to make it to the postseason, Eric Johnson."
We're going to get rid of Sean Walker and bring in Eric Johnson as your reward for such a
hard fought. What was the reason? So dumb. And they give up a fourth-round pick to do
it. Fourth-rounder, yeah. Yeah,
doesn't seem like something a rebuilding team should give up for a guy like that, but
no.
What do I know?
Especially when Matt Dumba went for, a fifth, I believe. So, yeah. I don't know.
Feel like...
It's like fucking Andrew McDonald flashbacks. That's who he reminds me of. He's playing just like Andrew McDonald did. And I can't get that vision out of my head every time I see Eric Johnson out there.
6 years, $5 million. Send it.
Oh, God.
Could you imagine?
Actually, I could. That's the problem. He's a leader. We just have to bring him back.
He'll lead them right to the lottery pick, which actually would be great.
Which
I'll take that.
Fuck, yeah, I'd do that at this point.
I can't wait until he's gone. Like, he's fine. He just shouldn't be here.
Is he? Is he fine?
No,
is he
no,
really
he's not.
Fine?
No, he's not.
Mm-mm.
He's not good.
Mm-mm.
Again, why?
I don't know. Because Mark Stahl needed
a friend.
Why did he do
this? We need to bring somebody in who's going to torpedo our playoff chances.
Yeah.
Eric Johnson.
Ronnie Attard's on a one-way contract next season, and we're going to make sure he doesn't play because Eric Johnson needs to take minutes. From him, yeah.
I don't understand it, and I never will. Danny Briere, bad move.
Yeah, I don't know what their thought was here, especially when they phrased it like it was a reward for the team working hard. It's a reward. Here's a fucking 80-year-old Eric Johnson to
couldn't go get Casey
anchor
Middlestad. 20. They had to go get Eric Johnson.
Yeah, can't get in the Bowen Byram sweeps today, so we need goddamn Eric Johnson.
They had to give up Byram to get him. Who would have been our comparable? York? Plus?
Fuck, it would have been lesser than York. Casey Middlestad? Probably Frost. Quite frankly. I'd do that.
Well, I don't know if they would have done center for center.
They apparently wanted Byram. He was one of the guys they checked in on before they landed Drysdale. There was some potential link there, I suppose. And, the other news, Ivan Fedotov is here.
I know, finally.
Played
his first
game on Monday.
Right after Noah and I spoken into existence that neither Kolosov or Fedotov were going to be here. A week later, they were like, surprise, both of them are coming.
It was a couple days later.
It was like, yeah, not even a week later. Actually, I think the Kolosov one was like the day after. And then 2 days later, the Fedotov news
Fedotov
came
shows
out,
up.
and I was like, oopsies.
Yeah.
But yes, Fedotov is here. Kolosov is also here. He's just in Lehigh Valley.
Fucking Cal Peterson started against Hershey the other day. I was so mad when I
Why?
saw that. They have Felix Sandstrom and Kolosov now, and they've played Cal Peterson.
His team, man. Also, apparently, Ivan Fedotov is listed at 6'7" and not 6'8", so he's not the tallest goaltender in NHL history. Apparently, that's what Elliot Friedman said last week on 32 Thoughts, and it was real sad.
Have to get a ruler and see.
Flyers had one job.
The Flyers lied to us about something to try and make the history books.
No, they didn't make the history books.
They tried. They lied to get there.
It's okay, we got the record. That's all that matters. Big brain. Anyway, yeah, Sam Ersson got pulled and they put Fedotov in, so it was his first appearance, not his first career start. I'm interested in seeing which of the
I
games of the
assume he's getting one
back-to-back
of
he would
these two.
take.
Yeah.
I would assume it's one of them
You
if I
gotta be
had to.
Columbus, right? You gotta slow pitch Columbus here and
I don't know. They might play him against Buffalo in case,
that's a big game to put on his shoulders. Granted, I don't know how much they actually
Do
trust
you
Ersin right now,
I was
but
gonna say, how much do you trust Ersin right now? That he's hasn't he been pulled in like
three of the last 10
three of the
starts
last
he's been,
yeah.
I don't know. I
Like I think the extra day of rest wouldn't hurt him, considering they've been riding him into the
mean,
ground.
he's already had 3.5 days off here. He only played the first period on Monday.
I guess that's true.
Buffalo is definitely going to be the more competitive game of the two.
We say that now, and they're going to get blown out by the Sabres, and then the Columbus game will be the competitive one.
I mean, the Sabres have a lot to lose right now. Like they could, that should theoretically. I mean, the Blue Jackets are here just to play spoiler, right? They're here just
Right.
to see through the season and try and take down the
Call it a
Flyers for
day.
funsies.
Yeah.
I mean, that should be slow pitch softball right there, theoretically. And then the Sabres would be the more difficult one, but I don't know.
I'm not good at
The
slow pitch
guy who has
softball.
40 minutes of NHL experience under his name, or the guy that's run into the ground because they don't trust any other goaltender to play.
Caught between a rock and a hard place here. I gotta tell you, this is tough.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. If you don't trust Ersin on Friday, do you trust him on Saturday? Like, does one more day of rest
But like
mean anything?
you could give it in, well, I don't know. Who is it? Did he start the Blackhawks game too? And the
I believe
was
so.
that a back to back with the Canadiens and the Blackhawks?
No.
No? Okay. It was a day off.
That was Thursday and Saturday.
Oh, that's what it was. Okay.
Who started the Blackhawks game? Let's see. Yeah, Ersin started. He had a 792 save percentage.
Woof. I mean, both of these are big games, right? Like either
You can't
way,
lose either one,
you can't lose
essentially.
either of them. They can't afford to lose either of them, so like, does it matter who you play when?
At this point, I don't know if it does, quite frankly. You're taking equal risk one way or the other.
And I mean, I kind of liked how Fedotov looked against the Islanders. Like, it's not like he was playing in like some like Swedish league before he came over here. Like, he was playing in the KHL. Like, that's a solid league.
I'm very
It's like
glad
the third
Fedotov
best
came
league in the
over.
world.
Before the Fedotov thing broke and it was just Kolosov, and everyone's like, Kolosov's gonna show up and play the playoffs for the Flyers. And I'm like, oh my God, this 22-year-old's gonna get thrown to the wolves behind this fucking team, trying to do this. Like, that's bad call. At least Fedotov is 27. He's got, 10 years of experience. At one point, not all that long ago, he was considered the best goalie in the world. Like,
Yeah.
he does have something here. There is the idea that he needs to convert to the NHL game, which is going to take some time. And he's probably going to have a stinker here or two. It's just these are games that you can't really afford to have that thrown into the wolves moment and trial by fire kind of thing. So
Right.
I don't know. I don't know what I would do. I feel Ersin
I mean, I
Sabres.
would definitely be more cautious with Kolosov than Fedotov because I mean, like, at this point, like, Fedotov is what he is. Like, he's 27. Like, I feel like he comes in a lot more highly touted and, has a lot more experience under his belt than Kolosov has. So
There's a certain level of adaptation that's going to need to be had, but it's not like you don't really know what his ceiling
it's
is.
not like learning a new language or
Yeah.
anything, right? Like, it's like going from a tricycle to a bicycle. Like, same idea. You're just learning, you're doing it without the training wheels, right? All the mechanics are the same.
Yeah.
You like my analogies today?
Of course.
Yeah, I'm really excited for him. I'm high on the Fedotov train. I don't know. I think he can pull it off. I'm excited.
With any
But I
luck,
swear to
they
God, if they lose when I'm in Columbus, I'm gonna throw myself onto the ice. I'm gonna go into the locker room and be like, "What are you shitheads doing?"
yeah, they'll lose by 7 or 8 just because you're there.
Yeah, per j just to personally spite me.
Just one of the worst games they've played since.
Drove all the way from Pennsylvania to Columbus, and they're gonna lose.
God. We got Montreal Rangers Devils next week, and then the Caps
Oof.
on the 16th.
Yeah, all what basically after Montreal is just all division opponents.
That is.
Thank God that the Devils aren't competing for a playoff spot because that would have been a doozy of a game too.
Fuck, it still is. If they had a goaltender, they would be a much bigger threat than they are. But yeah, injuries and goaltending have sunk them. I mean, that's a
Oh
trap
yeah.
game. Buffalo is a trap game. Montreal's a goddamn trap game. Like, the Rangers, they're probably gonna lose to the Rangers. They're not gonna win. And then the Caps there, and it's a big difference. We talked about this. We did a show, a post-game show with Nick back when they played Carolina in the most recent time. It's like, facing Carolina in the first round is gonna suck, but I think there is a small chance that they could upset them. But if they fall to a wild card spot and they play either the Rangers or Boston right now, they're not getting out of that series alive. It's not even gonna
Nope,
be close.
I 100% agree. I still think the Canes would win, but I think they would make it a closer series than
There's the
most
potential to
people
make it a
would give
closer
them
series.
credit for. Yeah.
I've changed my tone quite a bit over the last few weeks after seeing this team and they're
Oh
just.
yeah, after watching them collapse, I'm like, Canes in six, but.
When they played Carolina, what, 2 weeks ago? 2 weeks ago to the day now. I was like, all right, like maybe they got this. And then they're what we've seen out of them since. I'm like, I don't think they're getting out of the first round regardless this year. But I mean, their best chance of success still comes against Carolina, I think.
Yeah, I agree. I think if they play the Rangers or Boston, they're just gonna get embarrassed on national television. At least if they play Carolina, they'll be slightly less embarrassed on national television.
If the season ends today, the Rangers win the President's Trophy.
Oh, really?
They're
Nice.
1 point up on the Stars.
Stars are good. Oof. Yeah, those other two teams scare me. Carolina is also they're scary, but not horrifying.
Yeah, they wouldn't last against Boston.
Oh, no
That would
shot. They
be.
would get swept. I think they could pull one out of the Rangers, but like no more than that.
So
Rangers in five.
whoever is not taking that third Metro spot, they're in the second wild card spot. Tampa has 91 points right now, so it's third of the Metro
Yeah,
or
Tampa.
second wild card spot.
Tampa's not get given up that spot. 'Cause like what
So second wild
who's?
card would play the Rangers.
Yeah, I don't think the Lightning could overtake the Leafs at this point. They have the same amount of games and the Leafs are 4 points ahead. So Tampa's more or less locked into that top spot, especially because the next closest team behind them in that division is the Red Wings, who have 82 points with the same amount of games played. So they're not catching them. It's really going to be the Red Wings, the Capitals, the Flyers, the Islanders, maybe the Penguins, I guess.
Possibly Pittsburg. Yeah, they've worked themselves back
Possibly.
into the mess. After they trade Jake Gensel and they somehow become a playoff team again. You can never count the Penguins out. Never.
No, literally, as long as they have Crosby, Malkin, and Letang, I'm not willing to rule them out entirely, pretty much. I mean, and give Crosby credit. He's had a hell of a year, and he's like 38, some crazy old
Was that
number.
his like his what was his stat about
Didn't he have
consecutive
like 40 goal season at
something
like 38? He
crazy?
just had his 19th consecutive point per game season.
Yes.
Like that's
19th consecutive.
crazy.
How many points does old Crosby have right now? He's got 39 goals and 84 points in 75 games. At
So he
36
could
years
have
old.
40 goals.
Probably
Easy.
will.
Who are the
Just.
Flyers points leaders? Does any of them have any points close to that?
Konechny is
Konechny probably.
64.
60, 65.
65. Oh, shit. He's the only one that is
But
past 50.
yeah, I was gonna say he's the only one that's close. He is almost a point per game, but then the next closest is it's a two-way tie between Owen Tippett and Joel Farabee, but Joel Farabee played four more games than Tippett did. They're both at 49.
49 points.
How is this team making the playoffs? They don't have a single point per game player on their roster.
Yeah, and it's not even particularly close.
It's not close.
Their penalty kill and their goaltending carried them for, three quarters of the season, and now you're just
Yeah, when they score
collapsing here.
more, when they score more goals when they're down a man than when they have the extra one.
Yeah. They're getting ready for their third consecutive season of dead last ranked power play.
Those Rocky Thompson quotes were hilarious.
I mean,
Just absolutely. I was listening to it on what was it, Frequent Flyer that you
Freaking
posted a couple
flyer.
days ago. I was literally in my car, like giggling as I drove home because they were just so ridiculous. He's like, "Yeah, our power play sucks. Nothing
Where
we can
are
do
those
about it."
quotes?
Like,
Where are they?
my guy, your one and only job is to make the power play competent, and you're just freely admitting that you don't know what you're doing. Like, Danny Briere, if you're listening to this, hire me. Like, I'm not going to be any worse than Rocky Thompson. You might
It
as well give
would be
me a job.
hard. Well, our power play stinks. He, in reference to Gurionov, was a good power play guy at one point in his career. It's not going to hurt our power play because it's no good anyway. That is a direct quote from the guy who's in charge of the power play. Two of the 3 years of consecutive dead last finishes are his responsibility.
How this man still has a job is mind-boggling to me.
He better not at the end of this year.
If they don't fire him, I'm going to be pissed.
I mean, you gotta. You gotta, right? You gotta. You
I mean, we
can't.
could have said that any of the last 3 years and they haven't done it.
Yeah, I mean, it's Rocky Thompson's fault. It's Danny Briere's fault for not adding people that can score goals with any kind of regularity. The Phantoms had one of the top power plays in the AHL, led by Samu Tuomala, Oleksiy Ehlenmeyer-Andre, and all three of them have either not played time or been very limited in the NHL. It's just nothing. They gotta overhaul their forward group this year and this summer, and they're probably not going to. So get ready for a fourth consecutive year of dead last power play. Because quite frankly, until the roster improves, it's not like you have a solution here. You can probably utilize it a little better, but the power play is pretty exclusively talent based. And as we just talked about, when you only have one player that's hit 50 points this year, that's not good. There's not
Yeah,
a lot of
no.
talent here. So, I don't
Yeah, they have to do something to address this in the off season. Well, of course, bringing in a new coach, but they have to do something with the roster to up the talent level or tear it down. I don't care. Just like pick one way and stick with it and commit to it. I mean, we've talked about this ad nauseum for years
know. Yeah.
about how they need to commit one way or the other. And even after a year of being under a quote unquote rebuild, we still don't know what the hell their MO is. Like, how can an organization be run like this where they're going to tell us to our faces that we're rebuilding and then do everything in the contrary to not. I don't know.
I ask that question on every
episode. It seems like the players
episode.
In the players in the dressing room don't seem to think they're in a rebuild because they're hunting for
No.
a playoff spot. The coach is always like, "We're aware of where we are in our rebuild, blah 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 blah," and you know,
They freely
you
use
know,
the word rebuild, but don't do anything that a
I don't
rebuilding
think
team
they know
can.
what the word rebuild means.
No. I think their definition and my definition are two very different things.
They go out and reward them at the deadline with, now granted,
With
Eric
Eric
Johnson's not good,
Johnson.
but the fact that they, like, their thought process behind it was, we're going to reward them for all the hard work they did to
We
get
can't
into
play
the
Ronnie Adder.
postseason.
We need Eric Johnson.
Like, the whole point of this is that they're supposed to be playing their young players and seeing what they have and also accumulating draft assets to, you know, potentially make a bigger splash. Like, that fourth round pick that they used, A, could have been a draft pick, or they could have used that as part of a deal to get something else.
For anybody better
like,
than Eric Johnson.
Literally anybody else better than him. For a bag of pucks, for I don't know. It's just very frustrating.
Uh-huh. Yeah, this I'm trying to bite my tongue on this one until we get to the off season and they actually don't do anything. But
I mean, this is the first full year, so I do think that, you know, some
I think the pressure's
leeway
up,
needs to
though.
Be made, but you know, especially if they're going to try and make the playoffs, like, what are you going to do? Say, you know, in the next coming years that we're not going to make the playoffs anymore? Like, how are you going to sell that to the fans?
And that's the thing is, when you take the step forward, whether voluntarily or involuntarily, you can't run it back now. You can't continue to use the word rebuild as an excuse for being stale. Like, you don't have to put a cup-caliber team on the ice next year, but you need to take steps forward.
Mm-hmm.
You need to continue this progress of building a competitive team. And that's, it's just, and listen, every time we talk about this topic on any other show, I always say, like, this is not Breer specifically. This is the Flyers' track record over the last 15 years of just not having that guy. You know, if Sam Reinhart makes it to free agency, do the Flyers hand him $12 million a year to play for you? Do you craft a blockbuster trade for Trevor Zegras? Do they do any of that stuff? Like, I don't have a lot of hope. That's for sure. Like, they should. I'd be totally for it. But I don't trust them to do it. So,
no, yeah, 100%.
My expectations are very low going into the summer when it comes to big, critical changes.
And, like, every single time that the Flyers have run it back over the last decade, in a season where they have exceeded expectations, they fall flat on their faces the following year. If they run it back, they're going to draft in the, what is it, top five again, probably?
If you're lucky. You get, you know, 17-18 when they exceeded, made the playoffs, and then got crushed by the Penguins, and then didn't do enough in the summer. They signed JVR, but they kept their goddamn goaltending tandem of Elliott and Neuwirth together, and it did them in. And then in 19-20, you get to the second round, and then you go into the summer and sign Erik Gustafsson, and the franchise collapses and had three of the worst consecutive years in franchise history.
Yep.
And here we are, getting ready to do the same thing again.
The same thing again,
Here's
yep.
a team that overexceeded. You're going to go into the playoffs and get curb stomped by one of these teams that's significantly better than you. They're going to go, this was great! It's an accomplishment! Go into the summer, do abso-fucking-lutely nothing, and run it back, and there's just no way you're going to be able to squeeze the same level of play out of this group. And even if that's, even if they somehow manage to stay a bubble team, you're not taking steps forward. You're not getting better. You're plateauing at a bubble team.
Right, right. If they're not
Best
taking
case
a
scenario.
Meaningful step forward of, like, winning a round, you know, what are they doing?
I don't know.
And especially if the goal, like, what is the plan for when Michkov gets here? Are you expecting to be a contender by the time he comes, so that way when you add him to your roster, like, you're a legitimate threat?
I don't think they're doing anything until Michkov shows up. I think they're in just tread water mode for the next 2 years now and just hope that he can actually make it over in 26-27. And then they realize, oh, shit, we got to do something here and make it happen. I think that's because, you know, Tortorella gave, I don't remember, I don't, it's been months now, but he gave that quote of, like, when the mad Russian comes over, that's when we'll start doing this stuff. And I was like, yeah. Basically indicating that they don't have any plans of getting better between now and then. And, like, I kind of believe that, but...
But then what are they're just going to twiddle their thumbs for 2 years until he comes over here and be like, oh, we got to build a team around this guy.
Yeah.
I had no idea. Like, This has been staring at you for 2 years in the face, and you're just now
I can see
realizing
it.
that you have to put a competitive team on the ice. I'm gonna lose my mind.
As long as they can sell the fan base on culture and bullshit and work ethic and Tortorella, nobody's gonna question them. Nobody's
Ugh.
gonna care. And they don't have to do anything until Michkov shows up. Now, a smart team would be building up, and that way when Michkov shows up, he's the icing on the cake, and that cake is then competitive. But what
Well,
they're
I
gonna
would
do,
do.
they're gonna fucking tread water and try not to drown until Michkov shows up and go, okay.
This is the waste of time.
Yes. Complete waste of time. And then in 2026, 27, then they'd be like, hey, now we gotta add. And if you're lucky, they may consider adding one middle six free agent then.
One
If we're really
singular
lucky.
Eric Johnson.
God.
Ryan Johansson.
2027 trade deadline when Eric Johnson's 45 years old.
45.
Eric, lace up the skates. We got a room for you.
Oh, gosh.
We're sitting all of our bunk. We need Eric Johnson back.
Who needs Oliver Ponk when you have Eric Johnson?
Yeah. It's gonna happen. Just you wait. There is no faith. I have zero fucking faith in them adding a name this year.
Yeah, I'm
Just
at the
nothing.
point with them where like I'll believe it when I see it.
Yep.
Like there are just too many rumors swirling around, and also like a lot of fan discourse, particularly surrounding Zegras, because they made the trade with Anaheim for Gauthier. That like there's been so much chatter around it that I don't know how much of it is actually fan discourse or how much of it is like people actually thinking that this could be a rumbling that this happens. But I don't know. If it seems too good to be true, then it probably is.
Yep.
And I don't want to get my hopes up with something that doesn't happen.
Yeah, I've done that one too many times over the last few years with Alex DeBrincat and Gaudreau and shit like that. I just
They really got me with the Gaudreau. I was certain he was signing with the
I'm still
Flyers.
pissed about that, in all honesty.
I mean,
That's still
look.
bullshit.
Was it the right move to not sign him? Like, probably, I don't know. He'd probably leave the Flyers in points right now. Actually, don't quote me on that. I don't know what kind of a season
I
he's
don't think
had.
he leads them, but it's probably surprisingly close towards
It's
the
probably
top.
closer than we would have thought. But like to not even like put your hat in the ring for like the local guy who wants to sign with
56
you.
points, so he'd be
Oh,
second.
he'd be close.
He'd be
Yeah.
second by
He'd
a
be
wide
second on the
margin,
team.
and he'd be pretty close to connecting. Yeah.
So, okay. Closer than I thought.
Do
But
you
like, yeah,
think?
it's like not even throw your hat in the ring for like the guy that you know wants to sign with you more than anyone else. Like, I don't
You think
know.
if Breer was in charge in the 2022 offseason, you think he would have signed Gaudreau? I think so. I think the pandering factor alone would have pushed him over the edge for this front office.
If this front office was in charge, they might have, but Danny Breer was also in the front office, so
I mean, that's true. I don't know. I think the pandering alone, they would have,
I wonder what kind of a say he had, like in all of those like day-to-day conversations as Fletcher's right-hand man. Because
I,
like
yeah.
for all of the shitting that the Flyers fan base does on Chuck Fletcher, people seem to conveniently forget that Danny Breer was his right-hand man for all of
The
that,
first thing they
almost all
did
of
with
it.
Breer in the front office was re-sign Ristolainen. Breer
Yep.
was there for the Sanheim extension. He was there when they signed DeLaurier. He was there when they did not sign Gaudreau or DeBrincat or any of that stuff. Yeah, he was Chuck Fletcher's right-hand man, and that's my question as well, is how much
Like
say did
is
this guy have?
was yeah was D Danny B the puppet master and it was just Chuck Fletcher's name on everything? Like who like we don't know. And like those are all things that like we and everyone else in the Flyers fan base have dragged them for.
Yeah, the million-dollar question is how responsible
Was
was
he for
Breer for
the
that?
initial downfall of the Flyers? And I mean, so far the results this year are kind of a mixed bag, so
Yeah, we'll see more. I have a feeling we'll get a good answer to the question over the next year or so. Especially this off season and see what they do. But I'm keeping my expectations low. but they should be doing... I just want one big move. I want one, like, blockbuster move. Mm-hmm. One big player, like, point-per-game guy, 40-goal scorer. Give me something that proves that they're serious about winning.
Mm-hmm.
That's bare minimum what I want. I want like 6 or 7 of those guys, but I just want just one. Just give me a little breadcrumb to keep me entertained.
Yeah, to keep me on the hook.
Yes, yeah. Because if they just run this team back in near entirety, or if they just swap out, you know, Delorier for some other fourth line goon, like, God, that's so just unsexy. That's just not what you need right now.
Yeah.
I don't need more Tortorella grinders. Give me one guy that's gonna make me want to turn the television on every night.
I mean, and how long are they gonna be able to sell this new era of orange, right? That was just this season, right? Like, they can't run it back and expect the same thing
when
to
they're
happen.
In year three of having the same consecutive roster. It's gonna be hard to sell the new era of orange. Yeah, and I don't know.
I don't know. We'll see. It'll be
interesting.
It's
just a waiting game, Ryan. All you can do is theorize.
Yeah.
Until the offseason comes around. Which it is.
I don't know.
Already.
I mean, at the end of this year, Danny. Well, actually, I guess it was right after the trade deadline last year that Danny Briere was named the interim GM. I forget when in the summer he was named the full-time GM, but he has been on the job for at least a year now.
It's been a full calendar year. Yeah.
But I still feel like I never know, like, how his cards are going to fall.
Yeah.
I don't know what to expect from him still.
They're trying to walk the fine line of being competitive and rebuilding. And because of that, you get things like
which is
the
we
Sean
did
Walker
for, which
trade.
Is what we did for, like, a fucking decade, and it didn't work.
Uh-huh. Yeah, we did this. This is Ron Hextall 101 right here.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, Fletcher tried it from the opposite perspective of trying to be competitive but failing miserably. Now you got Breer trying
so
to rebuild,
funny.
But being competitive again. So.
Like Chuck Fletcher was genuinely trying to be competitive, and we had like the worst, one of the worst records.
Yeah.
Like in
the
team
worst
history
year in
over
franchise
that span.
History
yeah, the worst years
him.
Of franchise history under his belt, and he was actually trying to compete. And Danny Briere walks in and says, "We're rebuilding," and then everyone learns how to play hockey again, and they're competing for a playoff spot.
Yeah.
Like you can't make this shit up.
And it's
like,
very Philadelphia.
This kind
Flyers.
Of shit
yeah.
only happens to the Flyers.
Mm-hmm. Anything
did you
else
like
you want to
did you like your
upon?
Hour of yelling today?
It's 48 minutes.
I'm convinced you only schedule these shows to just, like, get all of your anger out every day.
This
like,
podcast
this is your, this
exists
is your therapy.
Exclusively so I can yell in front of an audience rather than yelling at my dishes at night when I'm... loading the dishwasher, yeah.
I wouldn't want to be your dishes if you're yelling at me. So.
Folding laundry. Fuck Danny Briere! I hate this team! God damn it! Eric Johnson!
You just have like a dartboard hanging in your room with like Danny Briere's face taped to it, and you just like throw darts at the wall.
Oh, God. Yeah, this pod exists exclusively to vent. Oh. Oh, Christ. Well, guess we'll call it a day here, everybody. A new episode of Free Good Flyer up Sunday. The John Tortorella special on that one.
Ooh.
A whole 40 minutes talking about Tortorella.
I'm catching up on the frequent flyers. They're good. They're good this week.
And then,
nice work, fellas.
Yeah. And then somebody will be here next week.
Somebody.
Somebody.
Unnamed person.
Probably multiple unnamed people will be here next week. I'll
okay.
figure it out. We got time. Who cares? At Dan the Flyer Fan at Burley Puck and Burley _ pod. Plenty of shipping on the website, burleypuck.com. Dan the Flyer Fan _ jerseys over on Instagram. Tip to Tip Podcast coming back next month. Looks like mid-May. Shane and I will be returning. So Tip to Tip Pod on Twitter, Tip to Tip Podcast, Apple Podcast, Spotify, all them good bitches. You can check that out. And yeah. Katie!
You can find me on Twitter at Claude Giroux, but the A in Claude is a 4.
You can change it to Nick Delorier.
So he'll get traded? Not a bad idea.
DSLAU. Yeah, there is an A in there.
Yeah, there's an A in there. So the A is a 4.
Nick DeLaurier, but the A is a four.
I mean, it's worked. I might have to do it for the bit, just so he gets off my team. There's no A in Konechny, though, so I... There's an A in Travis,
There's
though.
An A in Travis. Mm-hmm. Travis Konechny, but the A is a four. Oh, God. All right, everyone. Until next time, goodbye and good night. Drop the gloves, let's go.